Personally, we didn't experience any rabid dogs when we were there, but there was one significant rabid dog attack while we were out there, where one dog bit about 25 people and about 40 other dogs. Sadly, these dogs have no control of themselves and are very aggressive. It's very important then for the local population to get to hospital as quickly as possible, because if they're not vaccinated, then the consequences of a rabies bite, well, are fatal. And one of the points behind the Mission Rabies program is to really show the Indian government that if they actually invest some time and money, I suppose, into the project like this, that it actually is practical. What they wanted to prove by the end of this 5-month period was that it is a practical proposition, that you can actually vaccinate 70% of the dog population and also neuter significant numbers as well.
You probably then felt that you were, what little you could do in relative terms actually was part of a bigger thing which was making a difference.
Absolutely. I mean, it felt good to be part of such a well-organised programme, because certainly before we went out there, we weren't quite sure what we were going to be doing. But it was very well organised. They are collecting data all the time so they can actually see and prove what they're up to. And to be part of a programme which is actually making a difference overall, even though we were just a small, very small part of that, it does give you a sense of fulfilment and achievement.
So tell us how it worked then. You had to go and catch the dogs in the first place, and you say they were netted. So how did it work?
Right, okay. Well, it's not just us out there. It's a team of people. We were setting up a new centre down in Kanakona, which is right at the south of Goa. And we had probably between sort of 12 and 15 people working. So we had a total of 3 vets at any one time. We had an Indian vet with us. So we had 3 people operating, a team of people, half a dozen people who were prepping the dogs and getting them ready for surgery, and the nursing team. And then there were a team of 5 dog catchers who really, the whole program was very dependent on them being able to capture the dogs in the first place, because without that, there'd be, you'd be doing nothing.
And they sort of went out with huge butterfly nets, didn't they?
Yeah, they had very large nets that you can imagine something you could catch a dog in. And these are all fairly sort of reasonable sized dogs, maybe sort of collie sized on average. They would drive around in a van, spot the dogs, all leap off the van. There'd be about 4 or 5 of them with nets, try and surround the dogs and then just net them as you would imagine it would happen.
I mean, some of them may have been in quite a poor state when you got them, but you did what you did, which is the rabies vac, the antiparasitic vaccination and the neutering, and then basically you put them back where they came from. Some of them, again, just to scavenge.
Yeah, some of these dogs, we obviously were providing a level of treatment that we could within the confines of what we were doing. We sort of grouped them into 3 types of dogs, actually, because, yes, you had the sort of feral dogs, which effectively were just free roaming and nobody took much interest in them. But you also had dogs that were owned, and they call them owner dogs out there, and so these were people who would have a dog and bring it to us for neutering or ask for it to be taken in for neutering. And then you'd have this, I think, the largest group, which are really community dogs. They live within the community. People know who they are. They may not have a name, but they'll maybe throw food out for them, or they'll even pet them. I mean, we certainly saw a lot of affection between the locals and these dogs, but they just sort of lived within the community, and that was really quite nice to see, you know, that they were just part and parcel of what was there.